This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about how you might use the Superior Court mediation programs to resolve disputes. We're going to be talking about programs that both the San Francisco Superior Court and the San Mateo County Superior Court have in place right now. However, what we will be talking about are programs that are comparable throughout the state of California. So if you hear something here and you're listening to the program in some other part of the state, it's most likely that your Superior Court will have the same kind of basic service for you. My guests are Jason Stein. He's an attorney and mediation advisor for the Access Center of the San Francisco Superior Court. Monica Salazar, an attorney and legal research assistant for the Family Law Self-Help Center of the Superior Court in San Francisco. And Michelle Cesario, the coordinator of the Small Claims Mediation Program for the San Mateo County Superior Court. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Administrative Office of the Courts. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trusts and Estates Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Welcome, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you very much for joining us. Let's start, if you would, Jason. The Access Center and the mediation program has expanded or will expand very, very shortly. And tell us something about that. What's happening?
Sure.
And why should we be glad about it?
Well, the San Francisco Superior Court has been offering mediations for self-represented litigants in small claims court. Mediations available at every small claims court calendar. And mediations are also available if someone comes into our self-help center and wants mediation, we'll schedule an appointment for them. Previously, this was only available for small claims cases.
Is up to $7,500.
Up to $7,500. Now we're expanding into limited civil cases.
Which means what?
Which goes up to $25,000. So it's going to include unlawful detainers, debt collection, personal injury, and various limited civil cases. So we're very excited to be able to offer this service to self-represented litigants in limited civil cases as well.
When will this begin? When will this service begin?
This is going to start in mid-December.
Really?
Now, the small claims portion is already up and running. It's been running about a year now, and it's had very good results. So we're really excited to see the same thing happen in limited civil.
This is quite. Do you know if this is something that's yet been done in other superior courts throughout the state?
I think Michelle was talking about limited civil cases in San Mateo.
My understanding is that there's a civil mediation component to very many county superior courts throughout the state. Our civil mediation program has been going on for approximately 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was started by the court and the Bar Association. So it's been very successful. And it goes up all the way to the unlimited civil as well.
Mm-hmm. Let me come back to you, Jason, for a moment. The new expansion program, how does someone get involved with this? What basically is it? Can they call for an appointment? Do they walk in to your center, the Access Center, or what?
Yes, if you drop into the Access Center, there will be people who can talk to you about mediation, and you can sign up for a mediation. What we'll do
Without having filed a case, is
right,
that correct?
Right, and in fact, we really want this to appeal to folks who haven't filed a case yet. We want people to look to mediation as maybe a first resort to how to deal with disputes. So they can come in pre-filing, and it's free and confidential, and they can ask for a mediation. We'll contact the other side for them to see if they're interested in mediation, and then we'll set up a mediation appointment for those parties.
How has it been with your program that's been going on the last year in terms of your contacting the opposing party, which I presume you've had to do? How do you go about contacting them?
Well, it depends. Sometimes we'll give them a call or write a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the other parties know what the problem is, so they're familiar with what's happening. And a lot of times they have questions about what mediation is, how it's different than going to trial, if it's mandatory. And I think that really is an important thing to highlight with people is that it's not mandatory. It's totally voluntary. So nobody's going to make them agree to anything they don't want to agree to. And any kind of agreement they do come to is by their own making. The mediator's not going to push some kind of solution on them or decide who's right or wrong. So once these questions are answered, generally folks like the idea of mediation. So that's how we get people to try it.
How do you, in terms of San Mateo County, someone who wants to do this, how do they get to get into the program that you're dealing with, Michelle? You're the coordinator for the Small Claims Mediation Program.
Correct.
So, and how do they get involved? Do they have they historically had to have filed a lawsuit or what?
People come at us in a various ways. Sometimes the clerks will refer cases to us when someone has come to the courthouse to file a case. Sometimes they will be referred from our self-help center. We also have a small claims advisor who is an attorney who meets with clients when they're thinking about filing cases, and he might say, well, you might want to think about mediation as a way of resolving this. So we get people at different places in the process.
So San Mateo County also doesn't require that a case be filed for mediation.
For the court program, it is free for anyone who has filed a case. Mm-hmm. I do work with clients who have not yet filed a case, but I also encourage them to contact our community partner who has funding for small claims type cases and all different kinds of cases who actually haven't filed in the courts. So I encourage them to use that service.
That's the Peninsula
Conflict Resolution
Center.
Yes,
and there is a small fee for that, I believe.
They have a small fee that's split between the parties if they actually come to the table and agree to mediate. Mm-hmm. But they will also, as Jason mentioned, they will also call the other party and see if they're interested, just as my program will. So just to get involved, there's no fee with them either. But I will work with clients who haven't yet filed. And we do, as Jason mentioned, want people to come in as early on as they think about mediation as they can, because the earlier a case is tried to be resolved, then it doesn't get escalated to a point where resolution is more difficult.
Right, and then the costs go up exponentially as the legal fees.
If you're represented by a lawyer.
Right.
Of course.
And just the court fees and things like that.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to touch on something that Michelle brought up is having community partners. And in San Francisco, we work with Community Boards, which is an agency that's been around a long time. They were one of the innovators of mediation or the community mediation model. So we refer cases to them as well from folks who come into Access, and we have a close partnership with them.
Now, the people in both of your programs, the people who are the volunteers, the people who are the mediators are volunteers, are they not?
Right.
And in San Mateo, how are these people prepared? What kind of training did they get, if anything?
Well, we actually have, luckily for me, kind of a model program. We have one of the most well-established, longest-running small claims mediation programs. And our mediators have been involved in community and or court related mediations for many decades, some of them. Mm-hmm. And so our panel has been with us in general for a very long time. These are people who have mediated many cases in all different forums. And so they've had basic mediation training, which is usually a 40-hour course. And then we ask usually that people have mediated or either solely or with another person mediated several cases before they come onto our panel. And they have to be quite experienced because small claims mediations are slightly different than a traditional mediation, which takes a lot longer. They have to be able to really get the parties moving toward talking about the important issues quickly. And it's a very skilled process to facilitate that kind of communication.
All right, I want to let you know that this is our Call a Lawyer night. I see a lawyer there in the conference room who doesn't have a phone to his ear. I'd like to make a difference there. If you have some questions, some comments in the areas of workers' comp, criminal law, landlord-tenant, labor relations, personal injury, tax law, real estate, patent law, aviation law, arbitration law with the Better Business Bureau, the number to call is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. If you're having a problem with creditors, if your debts are getting too much for you, you're being hounded by creditors, I'll give you a little later in the program the phone number for Leon Bayer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy, who will be available tomorrow on an 800 number from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., and I'll give that to you in a little while. So if you would like to talk, however, to our attorneys here for Call a Lawyer, again, it's 1-800-525-9917. All right, let me come to you, Monica. Monica, you are an attorney. You're the legal research assistant for the Family Law Self-Help Center. You're involved with the Family Law Facilitators Office. Essentially, how does mediation fit within what you're doing or what your office is doing?
Yes, mediation is a very important service that is offered by the San Francisco Family Law Unified Court. And it comes into play in every situation where there is a custody, child custody, and visitation issue. The court has approximately 8 professional mediators who are employees of the court, and these are very highly trained and educated individuals who facilitate the conversation and negotiation among parents who are trying to reach a parenting plan that is in the best interest of the child. San Francisco is a non-recommending county, which means that the mediation is confidential. And if the parents do reach an agreement in terms of a parenting plan and a parenting schedule, as well as which parent is to have legal and physical custody of the child, whether that is to be solely to the mother, solely to the father, or jointly, if they do reach a plan in mediation, then that mediation is placed in writing through the assistance of the mediator, and then that agreement is signed by the judge if all is proper, mm-hmm, and that mm-hmm. then becomes a court order.
Mm-hmm. Is this a service that the San Francisco Superior Court has, which is comparable in other parts of the state and other courts? Do you know?
I don't know specifically, but it is my understanding that mediation, family law mediation, is a part and a component of situations where there is a custody or visitation mm-hmm. issue. There are counties that are recommending counties.
What does that mean by are recommending? What does that mean?
Namely, that the mediation is not confidential.
Ah.
And then the mediator would be able to make a recommendation to the judge who is overseeing the case as to what is best mm-hmm. in terms of mm-hmm. legal custody and physical custody, and mm-hmm. also in regards to a visitation arrangement and a division of hours and days in which a child or children are to be with either the mother or the father.
You have been with the Family Law Facilitator's Office how long, roughly?
It's about 6 months.
Is that right?
That's correct.
So you haven't experienced, or tell me if you have, what goes on during the holiday season between parents who are alienated from each other and the pulling of the children one way or the other. Have you had that experience yet?
I haven't.
I understand during the holiday season it can sometimes be very difficult.
Well, it is difficult year-round. Our office has a very high volume of customers, self-represented litigants, mm-hmm. and our office works by a drop-in basis. Basically, if you come to our office and you are willing to wait, you will have an opportunity to speak to a highly trained professional in the area of family law. We have
including in various languages too, isn't
that it? Is correct. I myself am fluent in the Spanish language, mm-hmm. and because of that I see many of the Spanish-speaking self-represented litigants, and so I am able to educate them in terms of the process and help them in many times with completing the necessary forms.
Now, you mentioned that the mediators in the court for the family court are highly trained. What kind of training have they gone through as compared to, obviously, the volunteer mediators in both of the mediation programs we've been listening to are also very experienced. But the mediators you're talking about, you say, are highly trained, and they're also court employees. Why is there this distinction?
I would not make the distinction in terms of whether the other mediators that have been spoken about are not highly trained.
I didn't mean that at all. But the mediators right. You're talking about are court employees. Why
Correct.
Is this?
What I mean by highly trained is that, as far as I understand, not being one of the family court mediators myself, is that they are all have a certain level of education, at least at the master's degree level, as well as a number of years of experience in dealing with children. Mm-hmm. I am familiar with most of the mediators, and I know that at least a couple of them have experience in working with child protective services agencies, and so have a huge amount of experience in dealing with very delicate issues. Mm-hmm. Relating to children.
I believe, this is Michelle, I believe that as a rule, although there could be some differences, that anyone that's dealing with custody issues or a family court mediator, who most courts do have staff, they have to be trained in some kind of mental health. So
yes.
As a social worker, a psychotherapist, something like that, and have dealt with families in those issues. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I don't know if that's
the case. Let me ask you this, Monica. The you deal, since you are bilingual.
That is correct.
You deal with a lot of Spanish-speaking people. I do know that, generally speaking, throughout the state, the Family Law Facilitator's Office, people can come in. They will get assistance by the people in the Family Law Facilitator's Office in filling out different forms to be able to go into court. How do you deal with people who are Spanish-speaking? Because you're dealing with forms that, as I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're dealing with forms that are in English only. How do you deal with them? And this is probably on a statewide basis, I suspect, because you don't normally have too many judges who actually speak Spanish throughout the state.
That would be my understanding. And, of course, there is an Office of the Family Law Facilitator in every county in the state mm-hmm. of California. And I'm certain they all function in a different manner. And I wouldn't be able to speak as to their resources in terms of different languages. At our office, I do provide a lot of assistance to the customers and pro per litigants in terms of actually helping them work through the forms and fill them out, because
you help them fill them out while they're there.
While they're there, it's a sort of a scenario where I have a very limited amount of time to accomplish a number of goals. First of all, understand what this person's issue is, what the legal processes are available to them, explain to them what their options are in a manner that is understandable to them, such that they can make an informed decision as to how they want to proceed in their case. Because I deal with a lot of Spanish speakers, and this may be the case with most of our customers, I find that their level of understanding as to the legal system and the family law system is often very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And they come to us very often as the first instance where they've had any interaction with any legal system. And so I find myself educating these individuals and letting them know what they can expect. And then once I've done all that and I've been informed and I can gauge what this person wants to do and what the necessary forms are that they will need, then I can begin to help them in understanding the forms and actually completing them. And it's sort of a case-by-case basis.
All right. It is our Call a Lawyer night. This is Your Legal Rights. We have a number of attorneys here. Of course, we're doing it this evening because next Wednesday evening is Thanksgiving Eve. And can you imagine how many attorneys I would be able to get here at the station for Call a Lawyer night? Well, not too many. So, so pardon me. I'm getting all choked up over this. Pardon me. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask our people, I am losing my voice. It's 1-800. Hold on. I haven't had this happen for a long time. 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 for our Call of Lawyers. All right, let me try to shift while I get my voice back. With regard to the new expansion of the mediation program in San Francisco and going up to cases up to $25,000, this is quite significant. It's one thing to have a small claims action where you're going for up to $7,500. It's another thing to go up to $25,000. Is this indicative that the cost of lawyers today is so high that $25,000 is really kind of the area where if people are going to get anything out of their cases, they have to do it on their own, self-represented? Is that what the court is thinking here?
Well, what we're trying to do is provide these mediation services in these other areas. And sometimes the limited civil cases, they actually will look like small claims cases, but they've got more money involved mm-hmm. or a greater amount of property damage or personal injury. So in a lot of ways, there are similarities, but there are certain cases like unlawful detainers that are specifically limited civil. So
unlawful detainer is that when someone has, for whatever reason, either breached his or her tenant's agreement.
Right.
They get a notice, either stop or quit. Is that what it is?
Right. These are eviction cases, basically. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. evictions are so deeply personal because it's somebody's home. And you've got a landlord, and it's their property. And so the feelings run really deep. It's not just two ships passing in mm-hmm. the night mm-hmm. or a business deal gone bad. These are highly personal cases. And we find that there's a lot to talk about. And mediation can be a really good remedy for a lot of landlord-tenant issues.
In that these are bigger cases than what San Francisco Superior Court has had before, in terms of the monetary aspects, $7,500 up to $25,000, what amount of time do you anticipate people are going to be given, generally speaking, for a mediation? Is there going to be a time limit or not?
That's going to depend on if they have a hearing that day. Mm-hmm. So if they've got a hearing that day, we need to be able to get them back to have their case heard so that they don't lose that opportunity. Now, some cases might be continued to allow mediation, so they would get a postponement. And sometimes if they come in not on the day of the hearing, we'll be able to schedule a mediation that's a lot more free with the time.
Let me ask you this. You may have mentioned it before, but I want to have it clarified, if you would. If someone has not yet filed an action, can they come to the Access Center and discuss about having a mediation?
Yes. And that way they'll be getting a double dose of information. Right. They'll be getting mediation information, and also they'll be getting information on how to file their suit. So I don't think they would regret coming by and getting that.
But no, that sounds like a really nice opportunity. Let me give you.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah,
one
go
thing,
ahead,
sorry.
Michelle. Yes, if you would before we do this, I should introduce again who you all are, And then we'll get to you, Michelle. Michelle Cesario is the coordinator of the Small Claims Mediation Program for the San Mateo County Superior Court. Monica Salazar is an attorney. She's the legal research assistant for the Family Law Self-Help Center for the San Francisco Superior Court. And Jason Stein, who was last speaking, is an attorney and mediation advisor for the Access Center of the San Francisco Superior Court. And back to Michelle.
So Jason just touched on something that's really important, that when the clients come to us when they're coming to their hearing and they have the opportunity to mediate, they will be able to return to court if necessary. That's if their case doesn't settle in mediation. Mm-hmm. But we do have a very good success rate. I don't know Jason's statistics, but we have a very good success rate of over 65% of small claims mediations actually settling. Mm-hmm. And that includes the day of court mediations. So ideally, the purpose of mediation is really to have the opportunity to fully explain yourself to the other party and get issues and interests kind of clarified, which you don't have an opportunity to do in front of a judge because it's much quicker than that. Mm-hmm. But in the best case scenario, then parties will settle and come up with an agreement about how to completely dismiss the case and not go forward. But in the event that they don't happen in that time, they will still have the right to have the judge hear the case.
And interestingly enough, when people have gone through mediation, even if they don't settle, they're much better prepared to speak in front of the court. They've generally gone through the facts of the case. They've had a chance to talk it through, and they give a much more well-organized, calmer presentation, we found.
One thing I want to ask you before we end our first half hour, which is a statewide version of the program, is when people are, you know, unfamiliar with the court system and they want to come into mediation, I think they are going to look to the mediator. Generally speaking, they are thinking, I would assume, I want some direction from the mediator. What can they expect?
Right. So mediation is different than an arbitration or having a judge decide your case. Mediation is very much focused on the wants and needs of the parties. So anything that happens in mediation is going to be party driven. Now, the mediator is going to be a cheerleader for getting the conversation going and for providing a safe space for people to be heard and to make sure everybody does have a chance to speak. But they're not going to make a decision as to how the case should go. That's entirely left to the parties, and that's
are they
the
going
hallmarks.
Can someone expect that the mediator will make some suggestions, try to help people in getting closer and closer to trying to resolve this, or what can they expect?
No, the mediator would not be making suggestions or ideas.
Really?
Right?
Interesting.
The mediator will leave that up to the parties. Mm-hmm. The mediator is there to support the conversation. Now, there are different styles of mediation, so you will find mediators who do make suggestions and give legal analysis of the cases. That's going to be different generally than self-represented litigant programs, mm-hmm. small claims programs.
Well, all right. Well, we're going to continue this program in the Bay Area and on the Internet at www.klw.org. Let me just mention to you that next week on Thanksgiving Eve, we will be doing a program, by the way, and the program will be, you know, many of us will be enjoying and feeling very grateful for what we have, but a lot of people, of course, are having financial difficulties. So we are going to talk about what may be available to people who are being hounded by their creditors, who are having problems making their mortgage payments, who are just way behind on their bills. I will have my guest will be Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, who will talk about how bankruptcy may help people. So that's for next week. It is about a minute and 15 seconds before 8 o'clock at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. By the way, this is our Call a Lawyer night, and it looks at least the one attorney I can see through two plate glass windows here has a phone to his ear. I want to give you the names of the persons and the areas of law that they're here for Call a Lawyer Night. As you may know, we do this once a month. We're doing it this evening on the 19th. Next month, December, we'll do it on December 17th because the 4th or whatever Wednesday it is, the 24th, which would be the fourth Wednesday, of course, is Christmas Eve. Can you imagine who would be here on Christmas Eve? Even I won't be here on Christmas Eve. In any event, the number to call is 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. For workers' compensation law, it's Alice O'Sullivan, certified specialist. She's the immediate past chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. For criminal law, Jeff Hayden, a certified specialist from Redwood City. For landlord-tenant law, Jerome Gigliotti of San Francisco. For labor relations, that means labor and employment law and personal injury, Patrick Kitchen of San Francisco. For tax law, real estate, Frank Adam of Pacifica. Patent law, aviation, BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde of Palo Alto. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, tomorrow, that's Thursday, November 20th, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., Leon Bayer will be available at his office in Los Angeles if you'd like to call him. No obligation whatsoever. This is a public service that he is performing. Is for your benefit, and if you have a problem, you're certainly welcome to call him. It's 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. If you call and you get an answering machine, please don't hang up. Just leave your name and your phone number for Mr. Bayer, and he will call you back. So don't be thrown off if you do get a recording. He will call you back if you call between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. For those of you who have joined us in the last few minutes, we're doing a program on using court mediation programs to resolve your disputes. We've been talking about the general mediation programs in the San Francisco and San Mateo County Superior Courts. We've also been talking about the mediation programs that are available through the Family Law Facilitator's Office in the San Francisco Superior Court, which is, all of these things are pretty comparable throughout the state. There may be some variations, but these are basic services that that are available to you if you're in other parts of the state other than San Francisco or San Mateo. My guests are Monica Salazar, an attorney and legal research assistant in the Family Law Self-Help Center for the San Francisco Superior Court, Michelle Cesario, the coordinator of the Small Claims Mediation Program for the San Mateo County Superior Court, and Jason Stein, an attorney and mediation advisor for the Access Center for the San Francisco Superior Court. If you'd like to talk with them, if you have a question, whether it's in general mediation or a general question about some problem that you are having, or if you'd like to talk with Monica about some child custody or support issue, our number is 1-415-841-4134. That's 1-415-841-4134. Now, here's a question that someone wrote in. And Martin brought it in here. I just got a parking ticket that I feel was bogus. I want to challenge the ticket, but I understand the traffic court system has changed. I personally don't know what that means, but, and this is Chuck speaking, do I have the right to challenge my parking ticket? Am I entitled to a hearing? What can I do? Now, I don't know what has happened. I presume this person is talking about the traffic court system in San Francisco, although I'm not sure. And I don't know what kind of change there would be. Do either of you have any idea of what to tell this person?
I don't have any knowledge of parking tickets. I just personally got a traffic ticket.
You did? Oh, Michelle.
I moved.
Is this your question, Michelle?
Not on the way here, I hope.
No. I moved, so I was out of the area, but it was it's actually taken care of in the courthouse in which I work out of in the central branch of San Mateo County Court at the 800 North Humboldt San Mateo courthouse. And so I was able to talk to them about the traffic issue. And if it's a traffic, whatever you call it, infraction, you can contest your case and or just write a letter to the judge pleading guilty, and they will...
Pleading guilty. Pleading guilty, all right.
And usually they will reduce your fine and offer you traffic school to get your points taken away. That's all I know
that's
about
that's
traffic.
That's of a traffic violation as opposed yeah. to a parking ticket. Do you have any idea, either you, Monica, or you, Jason, about what the court is doing in San Francisco with respect to parking tickets?
I do believe there's a procedure for contesting the ticket,
uh-huh.
which may lead to some kind of administrative hearing, but I don't know the process.
All right.
Look on the back of the ticket. There may be some information on how to go about that.
Okay.
And you could
All
probably
right.
get information at, if it's a San Francisco ticket, on the website for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's www.sfgov.org.
Okay. Let me, by the way, give some websites for you for both the Access Center as well as the Family Law Self-Help Center for the San Francisco Superior Court. You might want to jot this down if you want. If you're in San Francisco and you have a problem, it's www.ci.sf.ca.us/courts. www.ci.sf.ca.us/courts. And if you want to communicate with the Access Center by email, here's the email address, access, that's ACCESS, mediation at sft.org. Access mediation at sft.org. It's all lowercase, no spaces.
For SFTC.
Oh, pardon me.
Right, and this is the mediation email.
Yeah, okay.
Access mediation at SFTC for San Francisco Trial Court. .org.
Pardon me for making that mistake. Yes, sftc.org. For San Mateo County, it is www.sanmateocourt.org/ADR. Alternative Dispute Resolution. That's what that stands for. www.sanmateocourt.org/ADR. Now, you're being awfully quiet out there tonight. I guess everybody is totally happy. No problems whatsoever. And so there's nothing to talk about. So let's play music.
but I can talk about a recent case that I had.
I'd like you to do that, if you would.
Not only do we offer sit-down mediations, either a day of court or if you want to schedule a mediation before your hearing, I'm actually a mediator as well. And if there's a case where either the issues are very simple or the parties aren't able to get into the same room, maybe a party is out of county or something, and they still want to have some kind of dispute resolution services, we offer what's called conciliation. And that is where I will usually call each party separately. So one party will call me and say they're interested and ask me to contact the other party and talk to them. And so we had a situation where there was a contractor who had done some work on a house, and he didn't get paid.
He was the licensed contractor?
He was not.
Oh, actually. He was not. Oh, okay. That's a very big issue.
It's very big, yes. And so he sued for the money that he didn't get paid, and the person who had contracted with him to do the work wasn't happy with the work, and so did a countersuit.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to come to an agreement originally at court, but then things sort of fell apart, and the party, the homeowner, was worried that he didn't want to let another non-licensed contractor into his home, and he was very nervous. And so we kept going back and forth, and the parties would get very emotional, and I would...
Were these parties in front of you?
No,
this is all
this
phone.
Was over days.
This is all phone?
Yes.
One
would call me, and I would call the other, and...
How fun.
Back and forth and back and forth. And there was just this sense they were able to actually work out the situation, and it all turned out fine.
Really?
The party ended up going back, fixing the work, and getting paid the total amount. But what was... interesting about the case was that it was just a sense of having another person involved.
Mm-hmm.
There was this sense that there was a space where they could dispute or have the conversation that was outside of themselves, mm-hmm. that it wasn't just the two of them talking.
Mm-hmm.
And although it probably would, it may have settled anyway, they felt that there was this sort of this protection of having another person involved in the conversation and being the person who relayed messages. And I actually didn't think it was going to come. I thought there could potentially be violence involved.
Really? Are you serious?
But
really?
We stuck with it.
And there could have been. There could have been. Did the homeowner know that this contractor was unlicensed before the work began?
My understanding is he didn't know before the work began.
Yeah, and then subsequently found out once the work began.
Yes.
Because obviously under the law, a contractor who is unlicensed is not entitled to be paid. That's the sanction that's involved. And as a matter of fact, in my county recently in conjunction with the State Contractors License Board, my office, the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office worked with the State Contractors License Board. There was a sting operation, and I think that 20 unlicensed contractors were arrested within the last few days by a sting operation with a home in San Carlos, and then another operation with a sting operation with a home in Belmont. So with that in mind, I just like you to know, listeners, that if you are going to hire someone to do some work on your home, make sure that this person is licensed. Because if this person is not licensed, you may regret doing this. You can go on the website for the State Contractors License Board. You can call up the State Contractors License Board in your area, and you can ask them, is so-and-so licensed? It's probably a good idea in this kind of a situation also to get from the contractor, assuming that you determined that he or she is licensed, to get some references and take a look at the work that this person has done elsewhere and get a feel for the quality of work. Dave, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Hi.
I have a question about arbitration.
Okay.
I noticed that very often there's a lot of pressure to undertake arbitration as opposed to litigation, and without the option of small claims court. I don't know how many of these things you've looked at, but arbitration is a lot more expensive than small claims.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the point is to reduce costs and simplify the process, small claims is a lot better at that than arbitration is. But I get the feeling that a lot of large corporations oppose small claims, and I'm thinking they do so because they would rather be able to plea for fees as well, for legal fees. And that, of course, puts terrific pressure on the plaintiff, typically the little guy, to not bring an action because they don't want to be subjected to the legal fees should they not prevail. Would your guests have any comments on whether this is in fact an abuse of arbitration?
Let me get some comments for you, Dave. Turn your radio back up. Thank you very much for calling. And for those of you who do have questions or comments or some discussion for my guests, the number is 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. Again, it is our Call a Lawyer night. We have a number of attorneys here, and that number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 in the areas of workers' comp, criminal law, landlord-tenant, labor relations, personal injury, tax law, real estate, patent law, aviation law, arbitration, BBB arbitration law, and then tomorrow bankruptcy law if you are having a problem with your creditors. Leon Baer, a certified specialist in Los Angeles, will be available tomorrow, Thursday, November 20th, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. His number is 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. If you call and you get an answering machine, please leave your name and phone number, and Mr. Baer will call you back. Let me start with you, Jason, on this thing about arbitration and Dave's comments. What comments do you have for him?
Well, San Francisco does not offer arbitration for small claims cases, only mediation. Now, there's a big difference between arbitration and mediation, and sometimes people are not clear about the difference. So arbitration, you've got somebody acting in the capacity of a judge, essentially. They are going to hear evidence from both sides and decide how the case should go. With mediation, the parties decide what's going to happen. The mediator is there to support the conversation, but the mediator is not going to make any decision as to what's going to happen next. That's entirely up to the parties. Now, if the parties come to a decision, they can enter into a binding mediation agreement so that that agreement is enforceable in court. And actually, the cost of mediation is going to be generally less than litigating. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, with our program, it's entirely free. So there are no costs associated with trying the mediation. But generally, if people resolve their case earlier, it's going to save on the costs. Now, with mediation, you're sitting down with somebody from the other side. So I think Dave was talking about large companies.
Mm-hmm.
If they've got somebody to send out for a mediation, that could work very well. But sometimes there's really, if a company is in another state, it's harder for them to send somebody out. So mediation may not work in that case.
Mm-hmm. I'm Michelle. Guessing maybe what the caller was referring to was when you enter into some kind of contract with a certain entity, say an employment agreement or your credit card agreement,
or with a bank.
Yes, yeah. They have mandatory arbitration agreements,
yes.
Which does protect them, I guess, that they think it protects them from litigation, and so they can sort of control the processes by which people bring disputes. It depends on how the arbitration agreement is written, but you could still potentially do mediation.
If the other side agrees.
Right.
Sure.
Mediation is always
sure.
Both parties agreeing to it, but you could certainly bring it as an option and say, well, yes, I understand that in order to completely have someone else to decide the case, we'd have to go through arbitration, but how about if we sit down and talk about this, and why don't we use a mediator? So it's you could still potentially try and save the cost of all litigation and arbitration if you were to suggest mediation, is my only comment on that.
All right. Let me give the number again, 1-415-841-4134 for your legal rights on the air. Off the air for you, if you'd like to speak to someone who is one of our volunteer attorneys for Call a Lawyer Night, it's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Again, I'd just like to remind you that our next Call a Lawyer Night will actually be on December 17th, and we will have a number of attorneys here at that time to do that. We're going to talk on that evening about elder financial abuse. I'll have a couple of deputy DAs, both of them actually, who are statewide authorities on the issue and the prosecution of elder financial abuse from San Diego and also from my office, San Mateo County. So that's what we're doing on December 17th. And also to let you know, for those of you who are having difficulties with your creditors, next week, Leon Baer will be my guest on the program, and we're going to talk in detail about some of the things that may be helpful to you if you're being hounded by creditors, if you're having difficulty making your mortgage payments, if you're just having overall difficulty paying your bills. We're going to talk about what bankruptcy may be available to do for you. So that's next week. So yeah, go ahead, Jason, please.
Chuck, I wanted to add that we did mention that our mediation panel is made up of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And if folks have mediation training and some mediation experience, I would encourage them to apply to become a member of our mediation panel. You do not have to be an attorney for the self-represented litigant mediation panel. and we'll provide a court training to get people oriented with how to deal with time constraints and things having to do with
how much training in terms of hours is involved.
The court's looking for at least 40 hours of basic mediation training and then 5 mediations conducted as the mediator.
Really?
Yes.
Before you are accepted to be on the panel?
Right.
Is that
so,
right?
So you would apply at www.sfgov.org/courts, C-O-U-R-T-S, and you'll see a link there to the self-represented litigant mediation program. Mm-hmm. And go ahead and send your application in. Our training will be in January.
What about San Mateo? Are you looking for any more? Are you going to do any more trainings for mediators in the near future? Or
there will be, if people want to email me, I can find out the information. There will be a 40-hour basic mediation training happening, I believe, in January. It happens over a few weekends. Mm-hmm. It's taught at Foothill College. And it is somewhat affiliated with our program. I don't have the particulars with me, but the email address is ADR, as in Alternative Dispute Resolution, small claims, so no spaces, no dots, ADR small claims at sanmateocourt.org.
Sanmateocourt.org. Okay. ADR. Small claims at sanmateocourt.org.
Yes, and that's the 40-hour basic mediation training to become a mediator.
How about, Monica, with respect to the Family Law Facilitator's Office, are there any kind of training sessions for anyone that you're coming up with?
Well, as I mentioned, the mediators with the Family Law Court are employees of the court and not volunteers. And so in regards to that, there isn't any sort of particular training in relation to mediation.
I'm going to come back to you for a moment for this. You mentioned that Spanish-speaking people, since you are bilingual, Spanish-speaking people are generally speaking, are quite unfamiliar with the whole process and need a little bit more hand-holding than perhaps other people who are English-speaking. With regard to the Family Law Facilitator's Office, irrespective of whether someone speaks English or Tagalog or Spanish or whatever it is, when someone comes to the Family Law Facilitator's Office and has a problem, such as child custody or support or whatever it may be, my understanding is, and correct me on this if I'm wrong, but on a statewide basis, the Family Law Facilitator's Office will help that person fill out the forms.
In our office, again, it's sort of a case-by-case basis. We are able to gauge where the person's ability is. If we find that this is an individual who wants informed as to the process and the relevant forms will be able to complete the forms without further assistance, then we can allow them to go ahead and fill it out themselves. And also because there are time constraints, right? Any given 3-hour session, we have close to anywhere between 30 to 50 self-represented litigants who need assistance. And so, unfortunately, we don't have the resources to complete forms for everyone. In relation to Spanish speakers, which is my experience, and unfortunately, we don't have many other language abilities at our office. In relation to Spanish speakers, it is our experience that giving a set of forms to a Spanish speaker and expect that they will complete them is not really going to happen.
Because the forms are in English.
Because the forms are in English.
That's the difficulty.
That is correct.
Sure. Yeah.
That is correct. And the forms are only in English, and they need to be filed in English.
Before we take our last call, let me just mention to you, if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KLW listeners like you. If you're in another county anywhere in California, you'll find through your local Bar Association a lawyer referral service You can get your own half an hour consultation with an attorney, usually in the attorney's office, and in anywhere in the state, it'll range from a low of $25 to perhaps a high of $35. It's a great service. Erica, do you have a fast question for us?
Yes, my question was, does Alameda County also have mediation training soon? I'm an Alameda County resident, and I'm curious about the training.
Well, I bet they do, but let me see if my guests know this. Turn your radio back up. Thank you very much for that question. Do you know if Alameda County has training for mediators?
Now, there's going to be a lot of mediation training all over the Bay Area. Now, if you're looking for a court-specific training, you'll probably have to check with the courts in Alameda.
Yes.
But there are a lot of opportunities. ADRNC is an organization. I think they're at adrnc.net.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative Dispute Resolution of Northern California. They're going to be a good resource to find trainings. Also, maybe just come on over to San Francisco and check out our panel.
And people could get the training through your offices, could they not?
Our office will do a training that's specific to doing self-represented litigant mediations, but you've got to have your basic training first.
Oh, sure. Okay. All right. Let me just repeat again for you the websites for you. By the way, again, if you want to communicate with the Access Mediation Center, it's the email address is access, A-C-C-E-S-S, mediation at sftc.org. The websites for both the Access Center and the Family Law Facilitators Center is www.ci.sf.ca.us/courts. And for the San Mateo County Small Claims Mediation Program, it's www.sanmateocourt.org/ADR. I want to thank very much the attorneys who are with us tonight for Call a Lawyer, and that's Alice O'Sullivan, Jeff Hayden, Jerome Gigliotti, Patrick Kitchen, Frank Adam, and Ron Rohde. Tomorrow again, Leon Baer will be advising you if you have a debt problem. If you give him a call between 8 and 11 a.m. Thursday, November 20th at 1-800-477-3111, he will be there to talk with you. Again, if you get a recording, leave your name and number and he'll call you there. I want to thank you both, or actually all three of you, very much for joining us. Thank you and telling us about mediation and the various programs that you're dealing with. My guests have been Jason Stein with the Access Center of the San Francisco Superior Court, Monica Salazar with the Family Law Self-Help Center of the San Francisco Superior Court, and Michelle Cesario with the San Mateo County Superior Court. Thank you very much. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this program has been made available by the Administrative Office of the Courts. Additional funding is provided by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, we will be talking about what you might be able to do in dealing with your creditors, in trying to help yourself get over this very difficult financial time. My guest will be Leon Baer to talk about bankruptcy and what it may do for you. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Chuck Finney.
This is 91.7 KALW San Francisco.